pillow, and welcome to Fact Checking Darwin, the intellectual safe zone where scientific dishonesty is not tolerated. Today I want to talk about some actual medicine and some science, and essentially get into the real guts of the matter. According to Darwin, there was no complex organ that existed that couldn't have been created by numerous successive slight modifications. And I did this whole website and I wrote this book strictly because the human body is nothing but a gigantic complex of complex organs. And what I want to talk about today is the changes in circulation at birth. To me, this is extremely interesting because you have to think about a fetus being created to live in a high-pressure, fluid environment. But that fetus is going to be born into a low-pressure, gas environment. So the lungs, which are going to be oxygenating the blood, have to be offline during the creation process and then be put online immediately when birth occurs. So there's got to be some physics that goes on there. And I find it rather dubious that that kind of extremely complex system could be created one small modification at a time. So we're going to talk about are the shunts that are present in the fetus that shunt blood away from the lungs so that the placenta can provide all of the oxygenated blood that the fetus needs. And it gets kind of complicated. It's not really complicated. There's just a lot of facts in there. They can seem somewhat dry, but they can also be pretty exciting. So let's get started. We'll talk about the first, well, probably the most common shunt is the foramen ovale. You may have heard babies being born with a patent foramen ovale because all it is is a hole. And in the right atrium, the foramen ovale diverts blood away from the pulmonary circulation directly into the left atrium. Blood flows through that foramen ovale because the left atrium is under a lower pressure than the lungs. So blood flows from the left atrium into the left ventricle, therefore bypassing the lungs, and it goes straight out the aorta to the body. So how does this thing work, and what happens if it doesn't work or it fails to close? I mean, shoot, if it didn't work, the baby would be dead. But in any case, when the newborn takes its first breath, the lungs instantly begin to function and the pulmonary pressure starts to decrease. The left atrial pressure then will exceed the right atrial pressure, which will cause that foramen ovale to close. If it does not close, then an embolus that originates anywhere in the body will head back up to the heart and then travel straight to the brain, causing a stroke. And there are some people that have had this that publicly we have known about it. One is Bret Michaels, the singer of Poison, and the other was Ted Bruschi of the Patriots. Both of them had a stroke that pretty well resolved. So now that this patent foramen ovale is working, how do you get it to stop? So it has to close. And it may take about 3 months totally to fuse, but the closure is strictly a mechanical pressure change. And there's a small septum that, because of that pressure change, is just pushed over, covers it up, and then it is supposed to fuse eventually. Now, some of the other shunts are a little more complex. The next shunt is the ductus venosus. Its job is to divert blood from the umbilical vein directly into the inferior vena cava, which is the big collection of venous blood that comes straight up into the heart, and it bypasses the lungs. It also bypasses the liver, which is where you can get into problems if it does not close. So the blood enters the heart into the right atrium. So what happens if this thing doesn't close? It ends up forming what's called an intrahepatic shunt because it's bypassing the liver. And what does the liver do? It detoxifies the blood. So all of these bad chemicals start adding up, and you end up getting what's called a hepatic encephalopathy, which is actually how hardcore alcoholics die, and people that take acetaminophen and knock out their liver end up dying. So failure of this thing to close causes seizures, vomiting, and eventually death. So how does this thing close? It's a little more complicated, but besides pressure changes, there's an oxygen concentration that changes, obviously, because that's what you're trying to do, is oxygenate the blood. When the first breath occurs, the ductus arteriosus starts to constrict, and that occurs within 10 to 15 hours. So there's a biochemical process that occurs that causes this thing to close. Okay, the third shunt, and the last one, is called the ductus arteriosus. And it connects the pulmonary artery that comes out of the right ventricle directly to the descending aorta. So it joins blood in the aorta headed straight out to the body. So what happens if that does not close? You get what's called a patent ductus arteriosus, which causes a very rapid deterioration of the newborn. This occurs because unoxygenated blood is diverted to the body, which leads to pulmonary hypertension. You get congestive heart failure, i.e. just too much fluid, and other very serious disorders. The closure of this shunt actually is caused by some complex biochemistry that, frankly, I don't understand. And it only serves to demonstrate that the complexity is so incredible. And since this is an entire system, there cannot be creation caused by numerous slight successive modifications, as Darwin would demand. Okay, so where does this all leave us? And you know, once again, I'm belaboring the point, I suppose, but it's a point that I just don't understand why they don't understand. All of the coding, all of the information for these three shunts are in DNA. And if you had to sit down and write a program to do this, you'd have to give it a lot of thought, a lot of work. It would be a pretty big program. And to think that this happened by random mutations is just absurd. And to think that intelligent people believe this could happen randomly is, it's beyond absurd. I would love to see a professor, a Nobel laureate, whoever they got, demonstrate how this could happen randomly. So there's my challenge. And join us in the next podcast as we absolutely break down Darwin's theory. And it is my pleasure to do so.